morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. Going to be with you about 58 minutes or so. I have a show today. Now, before you jump off a cliff here, I know some of you don't feel this is an appropriate show at 7:30 in the morning. I feel this is an appropriate show at any time of the day. So I've been with this young lady and that young lady, the young lady in pink and young lady in the dark color, for a long time. I have the greatest respect, admiration, and really for Janice Broderick's courage and her organizational and managerial skills. That's it, because she gets mad at me. So I won't say it anymore. She's one of the few of the dozens on me hate mail, but that's fine. Without further ado, Janice, thank you for coming on. And Jackie Sedera, she's on the board of the Elizabeth Freeman Center. Janice is the executive director, and I'm one of their biggest supporters, have been for years and years. As an old police officer, operative word there, old, I saw it when we didn't have a Freeman Center, and I don't want to ever see anybody have to go through that, whether it's law enforcement or the people involved, ever again. So please pay attention to the show. Support the Elizabeth Freeman Center, and you'll learn something. And I'm under this, and then I'll be quiet. I'm under this. Put, if you shine light on a disease, it tends to die. I want to shine light on all the issues that Janice is going to bring up that are happening in the city today. So without further ado, for Guas, shoot de jour. Janice Broderick,
Chief Executive.
How are you?
Good.
I got my sign in the front yard.
Good.
I saved it from last year. Wasn't that good of me?
Yeah,
it was good of you.
Yeah, yeah. I may have to stop by this year and get a new wire thing.
Yeah, that's pretty common.
Oh, okay. So listen, what's happened? We got a big deal coming up. Let's talk about that, and then we'll talk about the work you all do.
Yeah, so we are shining a light.
You are.
And it's particularly important, I think, right now after what happened last week. But anyways, yeah, Rise Together for Safety and Justice is, we're in the midst of that effort. It's our biggest friendraiser and fundraiser of the year. And we're having six community walks coming up, starting with the walk in Pittsfield on Monday, September 11th. And then we have walks in Lenox, North Adams, Great Barrington, Lee, and Williamstown. And we're expecting a really big turnout this year. Yeah. We have lots of our old friend groups, like, you know, Unico and Onyx and Lee Bank and the Social Justice Club of Lee Middle and High School, and just Jackie, you can like chime in.
Oh, that's fine.
Coming out, we have musicians that are going to be walking with us, including Jerome Edgerton and Youth Alive, Dysfunk Crew in North Adams, which is going to be very jazzy.
Cool.
The Eagles.
The Eagles in Lenox. And they're funny. They'll say, we'll play, but you know, we're old men, so I don't know that we can walk. But we'll be here to play.
Lindsay Maynard, Eileen Markham. So it's looking great. We're still in our fundraising mode, though.
Yeah.
People can go to our website, click on Rise Together, get to our Rise Together page, register, and you know, fundraise from their friends and family. It's easy peasy. You can do it through Facebook, email, all sorts of ways. And we're also still, we have, I think, almost 30 sponsors.
Wow.
Yes, and we'll talk about them a little bit later. Because some of them have been with us forever, and they're great.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's in full swing. And, we're hoping just everyone comes out. We need to come out. And it's, you know, Rise Together just represents a really growing community movement to stop violence.
Yes.
And it's been working, you know. This is like, you know, these are people who become our partners. These are people who spread the word that help is available, and it's working. The number of calls that we've gotten this past year compared to pre-COVID are 290% higher. I mean, that's pretty mind-boggling. And even though, you know, we know that violence has increased, especially since COVID, we also think more people are calling because, you know, people are spreading the word, and that is really important.
I have to agree with that. And I have to, it's come out of the closet, and that's why I do these shows. We all know sometimes I get pushed back because I do this at 7:30 in the morning. Well, you know, mine is 7:30 in the morning. But I am going to move this show to the TV station as soon as I get off the air, so it'll get a lot more airing. But I think, how long have we been doing this? Jen, how long have you been there?
I've been here 15 years, and I still feel uh-huh. new.
So when we started, I had hair. It's how
sure
I judge
about
everything.
That.
It's you know, there's it's B H H. Bill had hair years.
But Bill, you were at our very first walk. I remember you were at our very first walk.
And I will tell you, Janice and Jackie and all the people, and we're bringing light. It's not in the closet anymore. It's not hidden. You know, when I was a kid growing up, we knew some people whose dads beat up their moms and beat them up. And it was all like, hush, hush. Well, now, thanks to the efforts of Janice and the board and Jackie and all the sponsors and all the people, we're bringing light to the cause. And it's not to harm, it's to help and correct.
Bill, I always say that, I'm sorry, I always say everybody knows somebody.
Yeah.
We're just not sure who they are. Yeah. But everybody, I mean, it's so prevalent, isn't it, Janice? I mean, it's such a shame.
So I think you're right. I think we are talking about it more. I think we are shining a light, but we need to be doing a whole lot more. And that's why we rise every year, right? Because we know we're working long term, because violence is preventable. I mean, it is preventable. You know, if we don't accept it, if we start talking, you know, holding abusers accountable, really, truly, if we start teaching our kids really early about healthy relationships, healthy communication, you know, what's okay, what's not okay, you know, we could really stem the tide.
And I worry, Janice, I worry. I just read the Globe this morning about the riots in Boston, the youth riots in Boston over the weekend, and the assaults on police officers. And there's talk in Boston, and we had it here. Our DA, Tim Shagru, now is putting together or has put together a diversion program for youth. But in my opinion, it's really important that we do train the youth, because it to me it starts there. I just quick story: when I was running a violent youthful offender program years ago, I was talking with this kid, and he had beaten up his girlfriend so badly she was hospitalized. Blah, 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 blah. Anyhow, he was sentenced to the program because of the level of violence. And he, you know, he couldn't understand, because his father did it, his grandfather did it, you know, that and when I left the program, he was still in deep counseling, because he really didn't see what he did. Maybe he went overboard, but he'd be more careful. I'll never forget, he said, "And next time I'll be more careful." There shouldn't be a next time. Yeah. And that's what we all are here today for.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there is always a next time. I mean, so the North Adams community is pretty much reeling right now because Brittany Lombard, who grew up there, whose family is there, was murdered by her husband in Nebraska on August 26th, just a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. And it you know, we need to stop that. That shouldn't be happening. And I will say, since COVID, these last few years, we've been seeing situations that are much more dangerous. We've been seeing like huge financial need. We've been seeing horrific homelessness. You know, besides our the number of calls going up 290%, the amount we have been spending on motels has gone up 273% because we, you know, we don't send someone back to a dangerous situation. If there's no room in our shelter, we're going to shelter people somehow.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've been spending more and more on security cameras and changing locks so we can try to keep people safely in their homes, because you can't find housing. You can't afford the housing. The rents have gone up so much. And so your only option is to be homeless. And that's why people stay in large part in these situations, because the options are still so lousy. We need to do something about that.
So many of us are on the housing, and I had a person who's, you know, they're non-political, said, you know, what is you with this housing kick? Well, it's not a housing kick. It's what, you know, we've all kind of, I don't want to say we've all, a lot of us have benefited from the move of the New Yorkers to the Berkshires. Okay. But a lot of us haven't. Because the price of everything is astronomical now, housing. So I hear what you're saying, Janice. And, you know, I pardon me if I just sometimes get ruffled, or as a state representative once called me, grumpy old man. But when people minimize the extent of these issues, it drives me crazy. And for most of you and Jack, you know, that's not, I don't pack an overnight bag to go crazy. So I just really can't say enough about what the Freeman Center does. Please listen to these statistics. Please listen to these statistics, because in my estimation, they're frightening. They really are.
You know, people think, you know, I mean, the Berkshires are beautiful, right? And we have a lot of rural area. We have a lot of lovely roads and lakes and things like that. It's bucolic. But studies show that violence in rural areas is more severe and chronic. And we're seeing that. And statistics are showing that. I mean, our rate of protection orders from courts is 35% higher than the state average. When the Department of Public Health looked at the increase in violence since COVID, there were four counties that they identified as suffering the highest increases, and that includes Berkshire County. You know, when Department of Public Health listed the 14 cities and towns in Massachusetts with the highest rates of reported rape, four Berkshire communities were in that list. We have a lot of work to do. But, you know, other rural areas suffer high rates as well. But it's often not seen as a problem. And there's a lot of challenges to people getting help because our community is so small and tight.
And you know that, I'm sorry, is that this fundraiser, the walks, when you hear Janice say how many people they're putting up in motels and how many things they're doing, that's what this money's for, you know? And more things are happening. We're needing to do more things. And that's, and we ask the public to help us.
Sure. And I will say this about Janice and the Elizabeth Freeman Center. Janice, and this is a compliment, Janice can squeeze the buffalo off a nickel. She, that's a compliment. Your dollars will go to where you want them to go. There's nobody going on long trips to Hawaii or Vegas for conferences. A long trip for Janice is Great Barrington, and has to give a fundraiser. But seriously, I mean that, because today, I mean, I don't know about you guys out there in the public, or I must get 5 phone calls a day for collecting for veterans and police and fire and homeless. I'd rather give to my friend Janice in local, where I know where it goes. That's just me. You do whatever you folks want to do. But Janice, what's the best steps for somebody's in this right now? They're watching this program, or they know someone, their daughter, their son, somebody. What are some positive steps to take?
You know, we always say, call us. You know, our everything, you know, we're very confidential. We have special protections through the state, and we make sure that all of our staff, you know, are covered by those. So we don't release people's information without a fight, unless they want us to. People don't even have to give their names. People can be calling, asking questions about someone they know or love, you know, or concerns, but call us. So when people call us, you know, depending on why they're calling us, they can expect different things. If they're in immediate danger, we can react 24/7 through our hotline, which I think I'll replace my name in my hotline number up. Yeah, we can provide shelter, transportation, you know, all sorts of things. We have people on a call to respond to hospitals and police stations to help people, you know, through the medical process of exams following a rape, and provide support. Mm. We can help people at the police station make a report and file for an emergency order. People can call us just to talk, you know, and what we do is we listen to what people are saying. We talk to people about their options. We talk to people about what they want. And we don't make decisions for anyone. I mean, you know, this is someone's life. They know their life best. They know what their, you know, how to balance, you know, their needs better than anyone else. So yep. We talk about what options are available. And then we, you know, kind of support people through whatever process, whatever journey they decide. We also have a lot of different programs, you know. I mean, besides the hotline and the physical response, we do counseling. We do a lot of advocacy. You know, a lot of folks who come to us when they're suffering violence or if they experienced rape, you know, their situation is all combined, you know, just out of whack. And financially, you know, it's a real problem. So we do a lot of financial advocacy. We do housing advocacy. I mean, we connect with our partners in the community on many, many issues. We can provide, you know, like safe phones if their phones aren't safe. We can help, you know, temporarily with food, help them gather basic clothing, things like that. We have support groups where people get together and talk to each other, which is really powerful because then you know you're not alone, right? Obviously, you're not alone because there's so many, most of us who work at EFC are survivors. We are not, you know, you're not alone, but you feel alone. When this is going on, you feel kind of shame. You don't want to talk about it. You know, you're in a small community. You know, you're the person who's hurting you may be well known and well liked, you know, because, you know, a lot of times they know how to act in the community. But when they come home, it's a whole different story. Right. Or when you're behind closed doors, it's a whole different story. So we get that. We have a program called Money School, which it's a program with such, I know, Jack, it's a program of such great hope, where we work with folks for long-term change, right? You don't want to be stuck in poverty. You don't want to be stuck You know, you had dreams at one point, or you have dreams now. And so what Money School does is it, you know, kind of helps people figure out those dreams, those goals. People go through a 5-workshop setting with other people in kind of the same place and learn from each other and learn from, you know, we bring in bankers, we bring in colleges, we bring in all sorts of legal services, we bring in E for All, you know, if someone wants to start self-employment. I mean, we bring in so many people to create connections and to talk about resources that are out there.
Can I say one thing about this? Is that, you know, when I said many, many years ago, I can be just as poor without you as I am with you.
Yeah.
Janice mentioned this to me and we talked about Money School. I had people to reach out to. And so through Money School, now these women have support system. They know where to go. They didn't have this before. You know, some of us were lucky. We had it. We knew people, but they didn't. And so this is why it's so, so important.
Janice, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the abuse is the focus point, but there are a whole other contributing factors around that. When I was a cop, I was like everybody, well, why don't you just leave? Well, you know, you can't. You got 2 kids. You don't have any money. Where are you going to go? Your parents don't want you because they didn't want you to marry this guy in the first place. I mean, I'm just going through one of the stories in my head. And it's, yes, the focal point is the abuse. Yes, but the abuse is surrounded by many other things, poverty, lack of education, lack of money, any kind of cash flow. And then I'll be quiet. The other thing that always just bugged me is the people with babies. And I've even said to Richie Neal and the politicians here, you got to put diapers in somehow one of your giveaway programs, whether it's WIC or whatever. Because diapers are more than food.
Yeah.
Really? I don't know now.
Thank you, Berkshire Diaper Project, because they
yes, keep oh, yeah. I've had her on the show. I got to get her back on.
You're right. It's really complicated. And you know, sometimes you feel responsibility for keeping your family together, right?
Yes.
Sometimes you don't want your abuser to get into trouble. You don't want your abuser deported, you know?
Or lose their job. I had one like that.
And sometimes, you know, you remember that love, right? You just, you remember it, you want it, you know, and you think you can change things. You know, sometimes people can change. People need to want to change and they need to work at it seriously. But a lot of times it just keeps escalating, you know, it goes through a period of violence or emotional abuse, financial abuse. I'm sorry. And then it happens again. And I'm sorry. It's like violence honeymoon period. You start to think you're kind of, you know, out of your mind because, you know, what you think is real, people are telling you it's real. It's just, it's very, very complicated. That's why people need to make their own decisions, you know, informed decisions, understanding what's available, that there is life after. I think that's really important.
Sure.
And you're not alone. You're not.
Janice just nailed I think Janice just nailed one of the differences in some of the other programs I've known throughout my career. And Janice says, we bring you in, we chat, and correct me the second I'm wrong, Janice, but you, the person, have to make the decision. We're not going to make the decision for you. Is that correct?
Yeah. No, we don't make decisions. We have been continuously trying to expand. I don't want to get this wrong. I'm just putting your hotline number in.
Well, you're changing your name could be whatever that number is, because that's how I remember your name. Okay, I'm talking 24/7.
So what were you asking?
I was saying that what I like about you bring the folks in, you give them all the alternatives, you coach them in ways of if they want to leave, but you do not make the decision you should leave.
No, it's never that simple. And in fact, if people are planning to leave and they're in a dangerous situation, we work very closely with them to create a safe exit. Because truly, when people leave, the danger escalates.
Yeah.
And we're very careful on that. And again, I just want to stress that, you know, we take confidentiality incredibly serious.
Yeah.
So the information people give us, you know, stays with us unless people in writing tell us it's okay.
Right. Release it. Yeah. Yeah. I let's stress that and then we'll go to break. When you go there or if you're a family member and you're concerned about a family member who may be in an, that's all confidential. And I can tell you, Janice, like she said, they got to take, you got to drag Janice in the court to get anything. And they're,
we always say 1 or 2 days overnight.
Yeah. And she doesn't mind it because it's a break, you know, 3 hots in a cot there. So, but she, we're going to take a break. Please don't hang up. There's much more to cover. Janice is going to, we got a bunch of walks. It's not just Pittsfield. So if you can't make Monday, this coming up Monday, that's fine. Because you can go down Northern Berkshire, Southern Berkshire, wherever. And Jackie was saying, the Eagles band will be in Southern Berkshire. And for me, that's a great relief because I don't march either. So we'll be right back. This is 89.7 WTBR FM on your radio dial. We're simulcasting on PCTV. This is a noble cause, and it's something we as a society, we have to eliminate. We're not tolerate, eliminate. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back, and Janice is in and out of the light. I don't know if that could be biblical, could not be biblical, who knows? But it's the clouds going over. We're here today. I'm here today with two people that I have the greatest respect and admiration for, Jackie Sedera and Janice Broderick, who is Jackie's on the board of the Elizabeth Freeman Center. And Janice has been on the chief executive officer, whatever they call it there. For a long time. In fact, BHH. She's been there. Bill had hair. 15 years. And Janice and I go back. I try to have her on at least twice a year. It's a noble cause. It's a cause we must eliminate, not tolerate, eliminate. And we're talking, they got a big fundraiser coming up, a huge fundraiser. And Janice, because this is a morning show, just go back over some of the statistics, because some people are just joining us, about the calls and the number of calls and the people you're putting up and the cost and everything, if you would be so.
So first of all, thank you to our Berkshire community, because you are spreading the word. Yeah, I was saying before that since COVID, as of last year, the number of calls we receive each year has increased 290%. Before COVID, we had gotten 1,079. Last year, we got 3,132. I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But it's we're glad people are calling us. I would be really, really worried if not increase in calls. And there's a lot of violence that happens in Berkshire County, and our statistics show it. But there's a lot of violence that happens in rural communities that is often hidden. You know, I think here in Berkshire County, as a community, we're coming together and we're, as you said earlier, trying to shine a light on it so that people get help.
Yeah, and I think it's important, too, that people understand. Janice, you brought out the last time we were on together, the level of violence, the strangulation piece. Mm-hmm. Is that still prevalent? Or?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think strangulation was always a tool of physical abuse, and it's one of the most dangerous in terms of, you know, risk of dying. It's also what we don't kind of see or diagnose many times is how the deprivation of oxygen can, you know, create brain disorders, you know, and all sorts of problems cognitively. And that's, you know,
sure,
less visible. But yeah, I think, you know, I think folks are partners, and we have been trying to kind of train and have tools for people in different, like the medical community, the law enforcement community, and others to be more aware of what strangulation is and how devastating it is, how dangerous it is.
And I want the public to grasp that.
So I just want to, I did, when we were talking about what we do and the services we offer, I also just want to mention we have this very vibrant youth education team that goes into county schools and does, you know, healthy relationship work and sex education with healthy relationship components in it. In many of our county schools, they reach about 600 students and staff each year through that program. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You know, schools
and their young people.
Struggling.
I'm sorry, well, they're young people talking to young people, and so they really they pay attention. You know, they're on their level. It's not some old fogey telling them something. It's somebody that's near their age and somebody that they believe.
They're hip, and the kids call them.
I don't think Jackie needs to be calling me names, old fogey, but that's fine. No, but you're right. And they do relate better. They relate to people who are like them, of them, whatever, same age. But, you know, I want the people to understand that this needs attention. And some of us of my age and maybe a couple generations younger, I know it wasn't discussed. I mean, I can think of issues in my own neighborhood growing up. They weren't discussed. They weren't acknowledged. Everybody knew, but nobody said anything. Hush was the word. And right now, I believe in sunlight. Why do this show? Why have these ladies on? Because they're in the trenches every single day, and they see it. And to both of you and to all the board and all your staff, Janice, you know how much I think of them. It has to wear you guys down. I mean, we got to think of that too. But they're having some fundraisers, and we're going to let's talk about, well, Pittsfield is when. Let's give the dates. Mark Adams and I'm not. I'll have to call Pignatelli and see if I can get a passport to go in Atlanta.
Okay. I'll tell you all of them. And on next Monday at 5:30, we're in Pittsfield. Next Thursday, the 14th, we're in Lenox. They're all at 5:30 except one. North Adams, Tuesday, the 19th. Wednesday, the 20th in Great Barrington at 4:30. And that's the only one that's early. In okay. Lee on the 21st and Williamstown on the 27th. And I would like to say a little, say something about these walks. You know, along came COVID. You know, at one time we had one big one and it was like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do?
Right.
And so that's when we started this. And Bill, it's amazing because, yes, people knew about us, of course.
Yeah.
And we have this big presence here. But when we go into smaller towns and we bring somebody from the NAACP that can right. tell us that one in four Black girls are abused. We bring someone from the immigration center, and you know, about 49% of immigrant women have intimate partner things. And we bring somebody from Pride, and it puts it all together. And there's many times that a lot of the people in that audience haven't heard these people talk.
Yeah.
And it's so good. It spreads the word more than it ever did. And I always say this to Janice, when we were in Lenox last year, after the walk, and she turned and she said to everybody, you know why we're successful? Because of all of you. And that's yeah. true. The more, and we even said that about the hotline, is that more people know about us,
sure.
more people tell other people about it. And, you know, we've said many times, it's the one business that we would like to put out of business and yeah. have no need for it anymore. But as you see, it's just growing and growing and growing.
And I have to say, too, your organization has grown with it and is addressing it in the current mode. Rather than, well, in the old days, this is the way, the old days didn't work. That's why we have the problems we have today. And that's what I like about your organization. It's vibrant. It's knowledgeable. It's direct. It's dead on, bad term, I guess. It's on where it needs to be on.
Yeah.
I mean that sincerely.
We try very hard not to stand still. You know, even this past year with the big increase in calls, we have this new exciting project with community health programs called One Door, where we're working together to, you know, kind of improve kind of screening and access for sexual assault survivors, you know, and combining our services with medical services so that it's kind of seamless. We worked with Berkshire Immigrant Center, to develop a program for transitional housing and emergency financial assistance focusing on immigrants. We've been working with our local colleges because of there's a new state law, campus sexual yep. assault law. We've been working with them on memorandums of understanding and providing trainings and more presence and better access for students and staff to Elizabeth Freeman Center services, because they're different, right?
Yeah.
So we don't, you know, we don't stand still, and you can't stand still in this work. I just want to, you know, what Jackie was saying before, give a shout out to, you know, we can't do this work without everyone. Yeah. And we have some really great partners in the community, and NAACP, Berkshire County, and Berkshire Pride and Berkshire Immigrant Center have always partnered with us in Rise Together for Safety and Justice, because we really do try to reach folks that are more vulnerable to violence because what they look like or who they are, and make our programs and our heads and our services, you know, more culturally aware and more relevant. So I just want to give them a shout out there.
No, I think that's very beneficial, because The abuse issue spans the entire strata of humanity, from the very poor to the very rich. And my experience as a police officer, I've seen them from the very poor to the extremely rich. Thank you for doing that. And again, people should be, if I want to go out, I should be, shouldn't be afraid to go out, no matter how I look or what my skin tone or, I mean, I don't know what's happened, but I know, I thank goodness for you folks, because you are reaching vulnerable communities, plural.
And let's not forget about the trans, I'm sorry, let's not forget about the transgender
community. Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's what is one in two transgender people are victims of violence. You know, it's now that it's coming out more, and you see, you know, that they are who they are now. People aren't used to that, and they're just ugly and awful, and they have a hard time.
Well, so, and that's education. What you're doing today
brings together all, right?
Right, 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 right.
And we make a special effort for that. And so it's you know, all these walks are family friendly.
Yeah.
We have special safety and justice balloons for kids. You know, we'll bring the signs. You can bring your own sign, but it's just important to take a stand, get on the street with your neighbors, and, you know, end violence.
Bring
for ourselves, our children, our future. This is no way someone should live, have to live, and we don't have to live this way. Don't accept it. So, yeah, it's friendly. It's fun. It has music. But it's serious, you know. I mean, we talk seriously.
Yeah.
And hope anyone who can also help us fundraise.
Well, there's that. And let's face it. Let's face it. Be honest. It's costing the Elizabeth Freeman Center a lot of money to ensure people's safety. You want to just go about the putting people in motels again, Janice, please? Safe places.
Yeah. So we know a lot of times when people are fleeing abuse, they have to leave their homes. I mean, we do whatever we can to help them stay in their homes because that's best, right?
Right.
Less disruption. Kids keep going to schools. You know, you can keep going to work. But that's not always possible. So we all know that shelters are constantly full, including ours. Sometimes, you know, in emergencies, we have a cot that we use, you know. But if people are in danger, they can call us, and if we will find some place to shelter them. And we generally use motels in different parts of the county for safety reasons. And and we call people just to make sure they're okay. But yeah, our costs for mentelling have increased 273% since COVID. But again, we're not going to stop that because we're not going to send someone back to danger. We're not going to say you have to stay there. That's just not us. So yeah, but we will do that.
But the public needs to know what you just told them, that there are, it's a safety, and believe me, safety, not only from being beaten up or from possibly being killed. Mm-hmm. And I mean, maybe that's harsh, but that's what happens. Janice just gave an example of someone that murdered their wife out of state, but from here. My experience with violence is this. Some people just blow a fuse and they don't know when to stop. That's I've seen it on the streets. I've seen it in the joint. I can't explain why they just do. It takes a lot of effort to pull someone who's blown a fuse off hurting someone else. And that's what all of this is about.
It's more than that, right? Because people who abuse people they love or care about, they can generally control themselves out in public. They're not jumping over the counter to punch a clerk. You know, they're waiting until they're home. So, you know, there's a certain amount of control there. There's this, you know, good amount of intent.
They
can behave differently someplace else than they do in the home. So, but so many people are told, oh, I can't believe, you know, he would do that. He's so nice.
I've never seen that in him. That's what I use it. And he's only like this when, my saintly Irish mother used to have a saying about those people. They hang their fiddle on the outside. I don't know what it means, but that's what she meant. And I don't mean to catch you flat-footed. What is the oldest person you've interacted with, and what is the youngest? Domestic violence. Because I don't think people think it's just for young people. That's not been my experience only.
No. I mean, I don't know what the oldest. We've worked with folks in their 80s, you know. It's not always spouses or whatever, parents. It's sometimes children, right?
Exactly.
So the youngest, in terms of like counseling and working with kids. Youngest would be 3. But in our shelter and stuff, you know, I think we work with families as a unit because, you know, the parents are really the ones, the caretakers are the ones who can really help their children heal. And also pregnancy is a very high danger time in abuse situations. So, you know, we take people into our shelter who are pregnant. We've had babies, you know. The whole community kind of embraces and becomes, you know, the village. It's very sweet at times.
I want people to be aware. This show and me and the two other people you see there and a whole bunch of others are trying to bring light on this darkness so that we end it, not tolerate it. I think for so many years it was tolerated, not ended. And our goal is to end it. And I hope you'll contribute to this effort. It's the Elizabeth Freeman Center, and these folks, they will tell you how to contribute. If you can't make the march, just write a check. Go ahead and tell them.
Well, you can go to elizabethfreeman.org, and it shows you what we're doing, where you can donate, how you can start a team, which is another thing, is that start a team and then ask your friends.
Yeah.
And I think we see more and more of that every year, which works out really nicely. And of course, if you just, I've had a couple of my friends say that they just wanted to send in a check. And so they can make the check and send it to Elizabeth Freeman at 43 Francis F.
And I will tell you, thank you for that, Jackie, because there are people in our age group. You could have the best website in the world. They're not going to find it. And if they find it, they're not going to know what to do with it.
Right.
I'm one of those people. I would rather send you a check.
Checks. There's no service fees. Anyways, I just also want to just thank our Rise Together sponsors, Jackie.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead and read them. We got time. I'll make
well,
time.
Well, you know, we have some that have been big ones that have been with us for years.
I know,
like Berkshire Bank and Onyx and Greylock, and they've been there forever. And people like Maximilian and Unistress.
Oh, stress.
Berkshire Health Systems, BlackRock Foundation, Bloom Brothers. And then, I mean, so many of them, I believe, well, we were doing a show and Marie Paradise, who's our president, said that we have 28 sponsors.
Oh, I believe that.
You know, from the big ones all the way down to, you know, 500, 250, and we couldn't do it without them. And so many of them, I've said this before, have been with us from the very beginning. And when we go to the walks, you know, people like Hadad or Onyx, you know, they bring out a group of their people.
Yeah, they do.
To walk, too. Yeah, they support that way. And some of them start their own, you know, teams within their workplace. And we can't thank them.
I can tell you, last walk, pre-COVID walk, I walked with Hadad's people. They gave me a shirt. It was a small, and if anybody knows me, that was the only all they had left. But but you're right, and there's people, and Jackie and Janice, you'll know that there's people who show up every year, and some of them now are like me. We're not kids anymore. And the only thing I guess I would ask, unless it's a work dog, a help dog, please don't bring your dog, because I Janice, we one of the very first ones, a dog darn near got me walking up North Street, and they weren't in the marsh, they were walking down, but the dog bolted because he saw a dog in the marsh. And so I'm going to say, and I'll get all the dog lovers now going to hate me for saying
yes,
it.
Yes, you will.
But you know, I just feel like if it's a work dog, it's a help dog, that's fine. But I want you all to know, I'm going to read this number. Sure I am. Why don't you make it a little smaller, Janice? It's 866. It keeps fading. 401-2425. And that's a helpline 24/7, right, Janice?
Right. It's a toll-free helpline. I just want to say, you know, we have lots of people who have stayed with us. We really also love the new people.
Yes.
Of course.
It just keeps growing. And, every bit helps. And these are folks, you know, from businesses, banks, you know, cannabis dispensaries.
Yes, several.
Firms, insurance.
Just people,
community organizations, civic groups. Yeah. I mean, it's just a people. Full range of folks who are putting their names and their money behind this, and really little businesses too. Like GB Eats down in Great Barrington.
Yes,
that's for a number of years now, and you know they're a small business, but they participate, and so all these new folks. Calix, you know, has been with us for quite a long time and has been even coming out to our events for Sexual Assault Awareness Month and Domestic Violence Awareness Month. These are folks that are involved, and we thank them all.
And I thank the people, the individuals who sit down and write a check, and those contributions, I don't care if it's $5. $5 can be multiplied many times. Thank you all for doing that, for being part of this drive, this effort to eradicate violence and not just tolerate it. I'm an old man. I'm burned out on tolerating stupid stuff. So that said, ladies, thank you very much.
And thank you very much.
No, I wish this was a little bit sooner. We'd have had it up sooner, but we'll do what we can do. Otherwise, it will be put up on the TV program. Janice, Jackie, thank you for what you guys do. Janice, please tell your staff how much I appreciate them and all that they do.
Well,
And they've been out straight since COVID.
They're fabulous.
And we appreciate you, Bill, because you've always been such a strong supporter of Elizabeth Freeman.
Well, and Janice, don't tell her. as I always say to people, God bless. And today, can you do something for somebody else? Yes. You can write a check to Elizabeth Freeman Show. I don't care for how much. They're good people, and they make a wonderful accounting of our money to help other people. Guys, good luck.
Rise together.
Yeah, rise up and defeat this awful situation. God bless. Be well, my friends.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
You too. Keep on.